All right. At this time, we'll ask Brother West if he will come and read the obituary report for us.
Since this association last convened in October of last year, there have been 56 brothers and sisters that have departed this world and went to their heavenly abode. Even though their presence is no longer with us, their memory will never fade away. They are now enjoying the good things that God has prepared for them that love Him, a place of perfect love, peace, and joy that as hard as we try, we cannot completely comprehend. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen or ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Paul stated in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. These brothers and sisters' earthly course here is finished. Let us that remain always remember their faith, their love, and their joy, and their desire to see lost souls saved. Let us pick up the torch and continue to fight the good fight. To their families, churches, and those that are hurt most by their passing, we offer our most heartfelt condolence until one day when we can all gather together for that great homecoming in heaven, where we shall see the Lord and those saints that have gone on before us, and there shall we ever be. Thank you.
Brother Clerk, will you come and read the names of those who have outstripped us and gone on?
Antioch, Sister Genevieve Jones and Sister Deborah Bartley, Becker Drive, Brother Earl Morrison, Brother Barlow Moore, and Sister Virginia LaVon, I'm not sure, I can't read the last name, Virginia LaVon, it's
She was a hub, but I don't know what you're looking at.
It says PRO. We'll work it out afterwards. Beach Grove, Brother Robert Richardson, and Brother Tommy Bellamy. Bethel, none. Cedar Cross, Sister Patricia Hicks, Sister Sue Ellen Whitney. Cedar Grove, Sister Ruth Wright. Fairhaven, none. Fairview, none. Fairview Memorial, Deacon Ernest Sanford Sr., Deacon Johnny DeMombrum, Sister Treva Thompson, and Sister Geraldine
Muir,
thank you. Faith, Sister Kathy White and Brother Noble Hoag. Grace in Michigan, Brother A.J. Jack Doss, Grace in Tennessee. Brother Bobby D. Gammons and Brother John F. Brown. Harvest, none. Hillsdale, Brother Howard Spears. Liberty, none. Lyons, Sister Rhonda Guvis, Sister Lavelle Stevenson, Sister Cora Ashley, Sister Lula Hill. Macon, none. Maple Grove number 2, Sister Christine Gregory, Brother John Gregory, Brother Hollis McLeod, and Sister Ruby Thomas. Monaville, Brother Prentice Searcy, Mount Lebanon, Brother Jared Robert Mills, Mount Zion, Nun, New Bethel, Brother Joseph David Chavez, and Brother Charles Robert Riggs, Old Macedonia, Brother Shirley Jr. Moore, Old Path, Brother Harry McDonald, Old Time, Nun, Old Union, Brother Dennis Woods, Sister Virginia Hendricks, Brother Bobby Brown, Sister Betty Board, Sister Charlotte Freeman, Brother Glenn Vanderpool, Sister Frida Vonda Moore, and Sister Catherine Hendricks Garrett. Pleasant Hill, Sister Joanne West, Rocky Mound, Brother Billy Moore, Sister Louise Oliver, Brother Willie Weems, Brother Wilburn Trammell, Brother Jimmy Lauderdale, Sister Rebecca Butcher, Brother Timmy Gully, Sulphur Fork, Nun, Union Number 1, Brother Sewell Hunt, and Brother Roger Brown, Union Number 2, Sister Henrietta Bacon Gramlin, and Sister Sandra N. Hunt, Unity in Indiana, Brother Charles Kreninger, Unity in Kentucky, Nun, Walnut Grove, Nun, Woodlawn, Sister Jody Jones.
Thank you, Brother Carter.
All right, you've heard the reading of the obituary report by Brother West and the list of our departed saints by Brother Carter. What's your pleasure? Motion and second that they be adopted. And, of course, Brother West will discuss the report in his sermon. Would you like to have another song before you come?
Makes no difference.
All right. Well, at this time, then, it's my pleasure to present Brother West as our speaker for tonight. He is pastor at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Simpson County. And I want you to pray for him. He's a very able preacher, but all of us need the help of the Lord when it comes time to preach. So we're glad to present him at this time. Brother West.
Bless you, brother. I love you, brother.
I love you.
Bless your heart.
Appreciate the good comments, good remarks from Brother Moran. The church elected him to help in the July revival. And I told him when they elected him, I said, y'all don't have much regard for your pastor, do you? And they said, why is that? And I said, y'all get up behind him and try to preach. But, you know, they say that when somebody comes, when you're pastor and they come to help you, I felt like I was helping Brother Moran. I love him and Sister Moran and my wife and I, just Pleasant Hill all. We really grew to love them during that time that they was there. I do want to thank this association for allowing me the privilege to be able to stand here this night. I do desire an interest in your prayers as I stand. We need the Lord's help each and every time.
Amen.
I've been doing this trying to for a while, but you know, the longer that I try to preach, the more I find out that I need the Lord's help, that there's nothing that I can do on my own. So I do desire an interest in your prayers and do appreciate this opportunity. Got a few verses of scripture to read for your hearing. I've going to read in a couple places to start. The first place we're going to take a reading lesson from would be found in the 105th chapter of Psalms. We're going to read just about five verses, the first five here in this chapter, and then we'll move on to Isaiah and read just a little bit there to base our thought upon. But starting with the first verse in the 105th chapter of Psalms, Scripture says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." And I want you to remember, keep in your mind, and Brother Moran, he done went over this just a little bit, but this fifth verse, "Remember his marvelous works that he has done." And I want you to remember that word, remember, and the good things that God has done. I want to read just a little bit out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, a very familiar reading, I'm sure, to most everyone here. But I will probably, it's 12 verses, and I'll just read all 12 of those verses. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Now, with the mistakes that I may have made, that's reading out of Psalms and out of Isaiah. And to take a thought out of, I'd like to look at this fifth verse, and with the Lord's help, I'd like to tie these two scriptures, pieces of scriptures that I read together. But out of this fifth verse, the scripture says, "But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now my thought this night is Christ's sacrifice for our freedom. You know, when Brother Carter read those names tonight, There was a name in there that this time last year I wouldn't have expected to have been read this night, and that was my mother. Now, last year at this time, I would not have, if you would have asked me, and I think Brother Kemp probably went through the same thing last year, and you know, if you'd asked him, he probably would not have figured that his mother's name would have been there. But folks, what I want to look at tonight is, you know, and we look here in this 105th Psalm, and it seems that the Lord was always reminding Israel of what it was that he had done for them. How that he had brought them out of the land of bondage. How that he had took them through the Red Sea. They were there in Egypt and they were just slaves there. They were treated poorly. They were treated wrong. And the Lord brought them out of every bit of that. You know, when they faced the Red Sea there, and some of my favorite scripture, and they had Pharaoh and his army on this side, and they had the Red Sea here, and they thought that they were just stuck there, that Pharaoh was going to come and he was going to get them and take them back and make things harder on them. And Moses, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then we find that the Red Sea, now some will tell you that it was a little part of it that parted there, but folks, I want you to understand that God parted that Red Sea and he brought them out, and eventually he took them to a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land we know of as Canaan there. And God always reminded them, these prophets always reminded them of what it was that God had done for them, how that they were to put their strength or their faith in God, and how that they got their strength from the Lord. And folks, sometimes, you know, it seems that maybe we forget what it is that the Lord has done for us, the good things that he's done. And I want to look at a few of those things this night. You know, the scriptures teaches us in the book of Galatians, if I can turn over here and find it here in just a moment, in Galatians 4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And you know what I want to look at tonight is what Christ went through so that we could be free, so that we could be saved. You can say the salvation is free. It won't be long till it'll be. It's coming up on Christmas time. I was at Walmart last night getting my oil changed in Kim's car, and it took them a while, and I walked around, and I finally went back to the Christmas section there, and they were all ready. Now, it's not even October yet, and they already have Christmas stuff out. And you know, we get gifts there at Christmas, but the best gift that was ever given that was free to all mankind, and it will always be free, is that free gift of salvation. But it costs the Lord everything. And I want you to understand, and I want you, before I get too far into my message, and you can say, preacher, this is more of a revival message, I don't know, you just take it up with the Lord, I'll just preach what he lays on my heart. But I want you to understand one thing, that when Jesus came to this old world, that he was God in the flesh. But I want you to think about that word flesh, because he felt everything that we feel. He felt the same pain that we feel. He felt the same hurt that we feel. And you know, everything that they done to the Lord there so that we could be free, he felt every bit of that. And I think about when the Lord, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, when the Lord was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew what was coming, he knew what was fixing to happen to him. And the scripture says that he prayed, and the sweat was as it were great drops of blood, that he was in such an agony that night, because he knew that his time
for him to be offered up for the sacrifice of mankind's sins, mankind all down through the ages, and not just that, but till the end of time, he knew that the sacrifice was fixing to be on his shoulders. You see, God required a perfect sacrifice. God didn't require something that was second rate or something that was cut rate. And there was only one that was perfect and able to go to that cross for everybody's sins. Folks, I'm going to tell you now, and the majority of us here, as I look out, I'm sure are saved. I don't know your hearts. I just know mine. But I'm going to tell you now what the Lord did. He did for me. I was saved as a little 12-year-old child not too far from here over in Simpson County, Kentucky, and on a little old house over there. And I can take you back to the time or the place that the Lord spoke peace to my heart. But I want to tell you, as a 12-year-old child, I put him there on that cross. If he came for no one but for me, I put him there on that cross because I needed to be saved that night. I was, as the psalmist David said, the pains of hell had got hooked upon me. I had found trouble and sorrow, and I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now you go back and you remember when the Lord saved your soul, and you think about if you wasn't in that same place, you may have not been in a house on the Hall Road, but wherever that you was at, you found conviction, you found trouble and sorrow. And folks, I want you to understand tonight that we need to remember those things. We need to remember we have Memorial Day and Veterans Day. We have days like that that we celebrate in this country, those veterans that have went and died so that we could be free, so that we could be here tonight and serve God in the way that we know is right, serve Him in the Spirit and truth, and we owe them a great deal of gratitude. But I'm going to tell you what, we'll recognize them in a way, and that's good that we do, but I think a lot of the times, even amongst God's own people, we forget what it is that the Lord done for us. But it was, when he was here in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was in an agony that night, he was troubled that night because he knew what was fixing to happen to him. And we know that he was betrayed, and that they brought the guards to him, and they took the Lord there to Pilate's hall, that judgment hall there. And we find that that's when things started really getting rough on the Lord. They took, and I want you to understand, I mentioned some of this the other day, Sunday in my message at Pleasant Hill, but I want you to understand that this was God's only begotten Son. God didn't have a whole bunch of sons to choose from that he could say, I'm going to pick my least favorite, or maybe you've been the meanest one, so you're the one that's going to go. You see, God has one Son, and he gave the best that he had for you and for me, so that we could be free, so that we could go to that place called heaven, not made with the hands of man, but made with the hands of God. You think about that tonight, where it is that you're going when you leave this old world. You think about it tonight, how awful this old world is. You know, I'm 44 years old, and I've seen, just in my short time, I've seen a lot of change in this world, and it's not been for the better, it's been for the worse. And you think how things are now, and you think if you had to stay somewhere like this forever, how bad things would be. But folks, we're going to a place that is going to be just perfect peace and perfect joy. We're going to a place that we can't even imagine. But now, as the Lord was there in Pilate's hall, the scripture says that there they begin to buffet him, or they begin to slap him, and they begin to mock him and rail upon him and make fun of him. And then in the 27th chapter of Matthew, the scripture says, you know, they were to release a prisoner at that time, and Pilate asked them, went to them and asked them, had they rather him release Barnabas or Barabbas or Jesus? And they wanted Barabbas released. And then they said, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Could you imagine what it was that they brought on their children that day, that they hated this man so much? Israel wanted a king. It was prophesied that the Messiah was coming, but they wanted someone that would come and set up on the throne and be decked out in real good clothing and be a real nice looking man is what they wanted. They didn't want this meek and mild, this humble Jesus who he said himself that he didn't even have a place to lay down his own head. They didn't want that. They rejected him. They hated him for the way that he was. They never, and I don't mean accepting as far as salvation, but they never accepted him for who that he truly was, because they had their sight set on somebody that was going to be pretty to them. And so this lowly Jesus here, he is here. He has been slapped and he has been spit on. And the scripture says that then they released Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, folks, let me tell you just a minute what a scourging is. And you know, maybe tonight you've never thought much about what it took for you to be saved. Maybe you've never thought much about it, but let me tell you what a scourging is. Best I can understand, they took a whip, and on the ends of that whip they would put bone or metal or something like that, and then they would take this person that they were going to scourge, and they would take them and tie them to a post to where that they could not get away. And these Roman soldiers, they were trained at doing what they did well, and when they would strike that whip at them, that bone or metal, whatever was in it, it would rip the flesh right off of their back or right off of their side or wherever it was, their arm or neck or wherever it was that they had hit them. And that's what they did. That's what a scourging was. We've watched people on TV, maybe a cowboy movie or something like that, be whipped with a whip. But I want you to know that Isaiah said that they beat our Lord in such a way that he was unrecognizable. And after that they had scourged him, they took and plaited a crown of thorns and they set them on his head. And the scripture says that they took a reed and they smote him on the head. Now I want you to think about, and I want to tell you, this is very personal. I want you to think about here the Lord and Savior is. He's never done nothing. He was God in the flesh, but yet without sin. And here this man is sinning. take a stick or a cane, a reed, and they smote him on the head, and they drove those crowns, those thorns down deeper into his head, and then they put purple on him and bowed their knee to him, mocking him and making fun of him, and then they put his clothes back on him, and the scripture says that they carried him out, that he carried his own cross. Now this cross that he would have been crucified on would have been just an old tree, an old rough tree. It wouldn't have been finished lumber like that we're used to today. It would have been something just rough and something that would have been heavy. And the Bible says that he carried his cross all the way, and then they got him there to Golgotha Hill, and the scripture says that they nailed him to that cross, that nails that they put in him. The best that I can understand would have not been nothing like a little 8-penny nail or a 16-penny nail, but it would have been something more like a railroad spike or a big pole barn nail, and there they nailed him to that cross, and they hung him there. And I want you to understand that it wasn't over for him yet, because as the Lord hung there in that hot old desert sun, and as his body, he's hung there on that cross, his back is beat off, the flesh on that old rough tree, the flesh on his back, I'm sure that it was rubbing on that cross. And I want you to remember one thing, he done it all for you and for me. And as he hanged there in that old hot sun there, as he would have started, his body would have started to have sank down. It would have started right in here in his abdomen. It would have started to have crushed or started to squeeze every bit of that right there and cutting his wind off. Could you imagine today somebody doing you like that? Could you imagine today if you've got a son? I've got one little old boy. He ain't worth much for nothing, but he is to me and his mama. But I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't want to give that boy up for the sins of anybody else, because I'm going to tell you, I love that boy. That boy means everything to me. That little old girl I've got, she means everything to me. But God gave him up so that we could be saved. Amen. Well, they took him and they put him on that old cross. They hung him out there in that hot Israel sun. And they sat there and they watched him die. And they was glad when he died. They thought that they was done with him. And they took him and they put him in a borrowed tomb. He didn't have the money to have a tomb. He wasn't going to need it long. But they took him and they put him in that old borrowed tomb there. And on that third and glorious day, the scripture says that they put a seal upon that rock that they had, that they put across that sepulcher there. They put a seal so that nobody could come and break that, roll that rock away. They put a seal there, and Pilate, he put his signet in it. He put his seal up on it. But you know, God didn't pay no attention to that seal. Folks, the God that we serve tonight, he don't pay no attention to those seals that mankind put up on them, because they don't mean nothing to him. He's more powerful than they are. But on that third and that glorious day, the Bible says that God came and he rolled that stone away, and the Lord, that he ascended back to heaven. And you can say, preacher, what in the world? This is the oddest message I've ever heard for a memorial sermon. You can say, what in the world does all of that mean? Folks, I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. It comes from a song, but that song says every hope that I have in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. If it's not for the blood of the Lamb, folks, this world is anchored in it. If you're anchored comes from the Lord. I'm talking about a heartfelt salvation, something that you know about. Then I'm going to tell you what, one of these days when I'm gone, you don't worry about me. You don't feel sorry for me, because I'm going to be in a much better place. You know, I thought about it. I'm what I'm fixing to say. I'm going to tell you how much it really matters what the Lord did there on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to, don't say this for you to feel sorry for me. I don't say this for you to feel sorry for my family. But folks, let's get just a little bit personal in just a minute and tell you how much it really matters. On August the 17th, about 6:30 in the morning, I went up, Mama and Daddy's, and we got in his truck and we went to Vanderbilt Hospital. And she was going to have a little 2.5 or 3 hour surgery. Really wasn't supposed to be that much. We were waiting there, and about 4 hours, Daddy said, "Something's wrong." And I said, "I don't think so. It's just taking a little longer." Well, about 5 hours into it, he said, "Something's wrong." And I said, "Yeah, I'm tending to agree with you." Well, the doctor called us, and he down, and he said things didn't go just like we thought they was going to. We run into complications, and things just didn't go like we thought that they were going to. And it wouldn't but just 3 or 4 more minutes, he come back. And he said, "We've really got problems." He said, "She's coded twice. We've got her stable, but she's coded twice. And I want you to know, I really didn't know what coded meant or the effects of it." Wasn't much longer that we got to go up and we got to see her. And she was on ventilators and all of that stuff. Well, that wasn't the end of it. She was having problems in her left leg. She wasn't getting a heartbeat down in her left leg. By the next day, Thursday, her toes were already turning black. And I'm not saying this for you to feel sorry for me. I've got a point to make with every bit of this. Her toes were already turning black. Well, the doctor went back in there Thursday and said, "You know, we're going to see if I done something wrong or what's going on." Well, they went back in there and she made it through another surgery, and that gave us just a little bit more hope. Well, then the leg, it was still doing the same thing. And so Friday, what they done was they froze her leg from the knee down. And what they was going to do is when she got better, they were going to amputate that leg because they done froze it. But I want you to know that about 7 o'clock Friday evening, they came in there on the 19th day of August. They told us, said, "She's not going to make it." And they unhooked her from all the machines that she was on. And they allowed us to go in there and be with her. And you know, as I was holding her little old frail hand, I thought about the scripture that says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that feareth him and delivers them. And I don't know where them angels was, but they had to be pretty close. I guess God could have sent them all the way from the far end of heaven down to that room there at Vanderbilt just like that. But you know, at 10:27 p.m. that night on Friday, August the 19th, the Lord, those angels came and got her and took her to a better place. And you can say, "Preacher, what you've preached tonight, what does it really matter?" I'm going to tell you what it really matters. She had a testimony to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And that night at 10:27, she was surrounded by hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment. That didn't make nothing to God.
Amen.
That took they done everything.
I don't believe things happen just because they happen. I believe God's in control. But remember what it is that God did for you. Those names that were read tonight, they're where they are. They are where they are tonight because of that one man. The brother this morning, his message was back to the basics. Folks, if our belief, our faith is not hinged on that one man,
yeah,
then we have nothing.
Right.
But if it's hinged on that one man, if ever hope that we have in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb,
amen,
then you don't worry. Because it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. We may go through some things here. We're going to. You can't go through this world, this old world that we live in, and not have problems, not have heartaches, not have tears. But one of these days, I envy those that have gone on. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm homesick.
Amen.
I love my family. I love you. I love Pleasant Hill Church. But I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm not in no big hurry to go. But boy, what's it going to be when we do?
Amen.
Remember what God has done for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I'm glad to be saved tonight.
Amen.
Bless your hearts. That's my message. I sure hope Brother Delk taught me from a very young age in the ministry that preaching is supposed to help people.
Yes.
And I hope maybe I've said something tonight that's helped you. But you always remember. You may think nobody loves you. We probably all felt like that before. But God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. He'll never quit loving you. If you're not saved tonight, I don't know your hearts. Honey, you need to be saved. When the Lord knocks on your heart's door, you need to come to Him. Through repentance and faith.
Amen.
You ain't going to get it any other way.
Amen.
It's through repentance and faith.
Amen.
That's my message tonight. God bless your hearts. Brother Grant, I'll turn this service back over to you, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you. Brother, I love you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We heard a wonderful sermon tonight.
Amen.
Told us the truth.
Yeah.
Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he magnified the Lord tonight. I'm thankful for the sermon. It done me a lot of good. I hope it did you.